Well, it is fantastic just to be back in the East again. It's been 4 weeks since I was here on a Sunday. You know, we went away to Singapore, then Indonesia, and then Malaysia for our family vacation, and then we came back a week ago on Thursday, and then literally that same day I had to fly out to a leadership conference in Denver, as I shared on Friday night. And so this is my first time back with the East Sector, and it's great to see all of your wonderful, smiling, happy, handsome and beautiful faces. One reason we went to Southeast Asia was so we could go and visit my father and his wife, Elsa. And there you go, you think I look like my dad? My father got married when he was 20 years old to his wife Elsa, back when she was 18. They got married in Singapore, and they had three children. Then his wife was pregnant with their fourth child when he left her and came to the UK. And whilst he was in the UK, then he actually met my mother and started a second family and had another four children. And then he left my mother and went off with another woman, and then after he left her, he went back to his wife, who amazingly took him back. And obviously they had a few things to work through. They could have done some marriage dynamics classes like we have here, but she forgave him. And you know, my father, we went and spent some time with him. And he's very open about his life. He shares very openly about all the mistakes he made as a young man. And it was actually quite scary just to be there and to see my father and to see the similarities that not so much physically, but just the way in character and behavior. You know, there was a Saturday night where he threw this big dinner, and he invited some of his relatives who were living out there in Malaysia to come along. These are some of my cousins and... But he wanted to make this big announcement to introduce me to the Chinese side of the family. And he wanted them in, he told them about some of his wild younger days, but now he wants to present me. It's like a coming out ceremony. And he said, okay, this is my son. And this lady here is my father. That's my father here. That's his niece. And he used to look after her when she was a baby, change her nappy and all that kind of stuff. My father's 73 years old now. And so this is his niece, and this is her son, and these are her grandchildren. And he's telling his niece, okay, this is my son. And she looks at me, and she looks at my dad. What do you mean? This is my son. Remember I used to tell you when I went off to London, I did some things which I'm not very proud about. But I'm proud of my son. Anyway, you know, it's interesting because as my father would share about this, we had some great opportunities to spend time with my dad and just to be able to talk about just his whole life's history. And he shared very openly. You know, my father, he's become very devout in his faith. He was born into the Catholic denomination, and that's one reason why he never actually divorced his wife. And it's also one reason why he had nine children as well. But you know, he shares very openly about how as a younger fella he left his wife and he messed up and he drifted away, in his own words, he drifted away from God. And he described himself as a prodigal son. And then he talks about how in later life he came to realize just the error of his ways, and he came back, and he's now kind of like he's more committed now in his faith than he's ever been. And you know, he's very committed to the Catholic Church out there in Malaysia. But it's interesting because even as he was sharing some of these things, you could just see that that there was just an emotional disconnect. His wife was there listening, and we could see clearly just some of the hurt and the pain that she was feeling. And in fact, when Julie got a chance to talk to my aunt Elsa on her own, and just the depth of emotions that was in her, and the things that she shared, and yes, she's forgiven my father, but there's so much pain that she's had to deal with, because she was left raising three children on her own. She was pregnant with the fourth, and for a number of years my father was away, and she raised those children on her own. And then for my dad to come back and appear in her life, and you know, for her to take him back, and for the sake of the kids and everything else, there were some challenges involved. And even as my father would share about his mistakes and his sins and everything else, and and he was very open, but he wasn't very vulnerable. And I thought, gosh, that reminds me of someone. I don't know who. and he came along to church with me that Sunday in Malaysia. And I was actually preaching on that Sunday. And it was interesting because I totally underestimated the effect of what it would be like to be preaching a sermon and having my father listening for the very first time, sitting in the congregation, and his first time coming along to any of the meetings of our church. And I got up there to preach, and I was just thinking I'll just go ahead and preach some regular sermon. But then I saw my dad sitting there right in the front, and I began to get a bit nervous and insecure. And then I began to look through my notes thinking, now what am I going to share again? And just to make sure I'm not going to share anything that's too awkward or just insensitive. And I kept thinking, I was having a sense of just second guessing myself. And afterwards I just felt so hesitant that I was preaching. And I came down afterwards, and my dad said, "That was fantastic. That was such a great service, and your preaching was excellent." And I was like, "Oh, thanks, Dad. My preaching wasn't that good at all. It wasn't a good sermon at all. Well, it was okay, but it wasn't great." But I was feeling very insecure. And you know, it's funny because then I was watching my dad in the fellowship. And it was his first time at church, but he was just reaching out to people, introducing himself, "Hello, I'm Mike's father, and good to meet you, my name's Norman," and he's going around and introducing himself, and just really connecting with people, just very, very easily. But it's amazing how he's connecting with people very, very easily, and very open about his life, and yet still, there was just that emotional disconnection. Right. And so I thought, great, at least I've got someone I can blame my sins on. But you know, for me personally, it's interesting because it was a real eye-opener just to be able to get in touch. And even just to hear my father share a little bit about my own childhood and some things that I was unaware of and things I'd forgotten. But, in the church, this is one of the reasons why we need each other. Because sometimes it's easier to look at other people and see some of the failings in their character or see some of the shortcomings in their life. And sometimes it's much easier to see that in others than it is to see that in ourselves. It's like, you know, if you're going bald, you've got a bit of a bald patch at the back there, you can look at yourself in the mirror and think you're just as handsome as the day is long. But other people can look at you and think, "Oh, you're going to lose a bit of hair there." And they can see things that you cannot see. And we all have blind spots, not just physically, but we also have blind spots emotionally and spiritually. And that's the reason why in the church we need one another. Because we need others to help us see things about ourselves that we can't see for ourselves. And to help us to grow and to understand the things that we need to work on and to change. Take out your Bibles and go to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, that following week I left, we spent that time with my father in Malaysia, but then we went back to Singapore and went to get some time at the church there. And I was able to preach at the service in Singapore. And you know, one of the people that I've recently got into touch with in the last month or so, last six weeks or so, is my sisters who actually live in the UK. I've got my three Chinese sisters live in the UK. One lives in London, one in Peterborough, and the other up in Sheffield. And just before I went off on our family vacation to see my father, I got in touch with them, told them I was going out to Malaysia, and we actually met up for lunch and had an opportunity to get time together. And one of my sisters who lives in London, Juliana, we've been keeping in touch on Facebook. And she happened to see some of the comments after I preached the following week in Singapore, which did a better job than in KL. And some of the brothers and sisters were sending notes saying, "Thanks for the message, really appreciate you sharing and your openness and everything else." And my sister saw some of these comments, and so she tracked down the website that this was on, and she listened to it. The day after I preached it, she listened to it at work on the Monday. And she sent me a message saying, "I heard your message. It was very interesting." Because then I shared about my father, because I just met him the week before. And so I sent back, I wasn't exactly sure what she meant by interesting, but I said, "I'm surprised you had a chance to listen to my message, because I only preached it on 2 days ago." And she said, "I was bored at work, and so I was listening to your message." But she said, "I really appreciate your passion and conviction. If you keep that up, you may convert me one day." And I thought, well, I do pray and hope so. And you know, knowing how savvy she is with technology, she may end up listening to this message on our website. And if she does, well then I hope she takes it to heart. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to pick up here in verse 1. This is just the second half of the message I preached in Singapore. It had a very short period of time this morning. In verse 1 it says, Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal privilege of ours through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. Goodness with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with endurance. Endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entering the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you know them and are established in the truth you have. I consider it right, as long as I am in this tent, to wake you up with a reminder, knowing that I will soon lay aside my tent, as our Lord Jesus Christ has also shown me, and I will make every effort that after my departure, you may be able to recall these things at any time. You know, Peter is very urgent in his message to the people he's writing to right here. See, it's very different from 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, he wrote a letter that was really preparing people for persecution that was going to come. But in his second letter, he's talking to them about the dangers of false teachers and heresies and influences that can come into their life. And he thinks the best way to forewarn them and prepare them and to arm them is to really encourage them to keep growing in their knowledge of God. So they keep growing in their knowledge of the truth. You notice there, he talks about how that we have grace and peace in verse 2 through the knowledge of God. He says again in verse 3, he says that God's divine power has given us everything we need through what? Through the knowledge of him who called us. He talks about in verse 5 how we've got to keep growing in these areas. We've got to add to our faith goodness, and to our goodness what? Knowledge. And he says if we possess these things, then in verse 8 it'll keep us from being unfruitful and unproductive in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say that even though you know these things and that you're establishing them, I still want to remind you. The reason he wanted to remind them was because this is so important. You know, if you have a sports team preparing for a tournament or a final, they'll keep practicing the basics again and again and again, even though they know them. Why? Because the stakes are high. And with us, in our faith and in our Christianity, the reason why we've got to keep going over again and again and again some of these things which we know, but we need to be reminded of, is because the stakes are high. He says there in verse 9 that the only way to be certain, the only way to be sure, the only way to make sure that we don't stumble or fall is if we possess these qualities in increasing measure. That means so long as we keep growing, then we will stand firm. See, it's not enough to reach to a certain standard and then to be happy with that. It's not enough to get to a certain level and just to say, okay, here I am, and that's great. We've got to keep growing. That's one of the reasons why it's great, you know, it's great that we have today our graduation service. And it's great that we have the pre-teens. You know, the pre-teens have been with us for the whole service. Usually they go to their classes. But because 4 of their number are going to be graduating into the teen ministry, they're all here in the room, and in fact they're right at the front, right here. And some of them looking very smart and handsome. And this is good for them, because they need to keep growing. But this is good for us, because we also need to keep growing. And it doesn't matter where we are at in life. You know, this week I celebrated my 27th year as a disciple. But I've got a long way to go. before I die. And that's true for all of us. And we should never ever get to a point where we feel happy about, okay, I've got to a certain level, now I can just rest on my laurels. We've got to keep growing, because that's the only way we can be sure of staying firm. And standing firm and not falling. You know, whilst we were in Singapore, we had the chance to go to this... Oh, look at this. This is a picture taken back in 1983.
Up and she picked me, and I had to come up there, and I was thinking of all the hundreds of people
And then while she was up there, then she wanted me to say, yeah, okay, she was asking me, are you a brave person? Because we want a macho man. I was like, I'm only here because my family told me to come. She said, you've got to do a macho pose. And so she was showing me, you've got to do that. And you can see my look of disdain, like, what have I got myself into? So I had to do a little bit of a pose. I don't think so. But then the snake became a bit more affectionate, so I could give it a hug. So then I asked him to remove it for me. But you know, the fact is, as Christians, we've all got to keep growing. You know, in the year, we had a plan for each quarter of the year. And our fourth quarter plan was just about growing in maturity and to get deeper in our knowledge and understanding of God's Word. And the plan was actually that we would do an Old Testament survey, go through some of the Old Testament, have an overview of that, and then in our midweek classes, go through the foundational courses, which we call the Gospel. Some churches call First Principles. But this idea of just knowing some of the basics that we need to sustain us and the foundation to build upon. Well, you know, as we've been making some plans towards the end of the year, we still want to focus on this growing in our maturity and our depth. And on our midweeks, we want to continue to have the Gospel lessons, which will begin in October. On a Sunday, I think we're going to focus a little bit more on just some of the things that are going to help us to grow, more on the area of discipling and other things which we're going to be discussing next week in our leadership retreat. But one thing I want to encourage us to do is don't miss out on the midweek meetings. You know, when we come together and we start focusing on some of these foundational lessons, we all need that.
Yeah.
And it's not just like, well, I've heard it before, I've done it before. What Peter says here, I want to keep reminding you of these things. Why? Because they are crucial, they're important. But ultimately, that's the only way we can be certain of standing firm and not falling, is if we keep growing in some of these areas. And I really appreciate what Andy shared in his communion. And just the whole idea of not only just seeing our sin, but then just being open to others pointing out to us. And when he said to, you know, Sandra, so am I defensive? I thought, I'm not going to ask Julie that question, I already know the answer. And there are times when Julie, she reached out to me and she wants to help me grow in some areas. And so she'll come to say, honey, so how about this area then? So what are you talking about? What are you going to be sharing in your message? And what are you doing here? And what about this meeting? And what about that appointment? And you know, I don't get verbally defensive like, will you stop bothering me? But certainly I kind of like get a little bit distant and I'm like, oh honey, I'm really busy right now. I'm preparing this and maybe we can talk later. And that's my nature, is I want to kind of like pull back emotionally. And some of this stuff can be a challenge to hear. When other people give you a challenge like don't miss midweek meetings, sometimes we want to retreat into ourselves and have come up with all our reasons why I don't need to hear this right now. But I want to encourage us to drop our guard. Because ultimately the goal is we want to keep growing. You know, one of the great things about being in Singapore is we had the opportunity to get a chance just to see some of the London Christians who were still faithful after many, many years. You know, we sent out the mission team back in 1988. And a lot of the people who went on the mission team were people who came from, you know, when Julie and I led the student ministry, there were a lot of students who went on the mission team there. And it's great to see so many of them. They threw a party for us and we had a dinner. These are some of just a few of the London disciples who were there with some of their family members. And, you know, you may recognize some of the people like there's Selena there and there's Shelley over here and Shweely and Kim and Agnes. And it was just great just to see some of the London Christians as they had this dinner there. But what was encouraging was to see how they not only stayed faithful, but how they'd grown and shared their faith. And to see how many others were Christians because of them. You know, Delina, she converted her mother when she was out there. And we got a chance to meet her mama. Her father sadly died a few years ago, but her mother, she's as active in the church as anyone. When we had this dinner out at Delina's house and her mother came in, her mother actually lost her sight a while back. And so she's blind, but she's just fully engaged in everything. She just got back from a date. And she was like, oh yeah, she had a great day, it was excellent, and I was so encouraged to hear her. And then she introduced me to her mother, Delina's grandmother. And this is Delina's grandmother right there. She was baptized last year at the age of 93. She is more than twice my age. In fact, more than 50 years older than me. And she was just so giving. I mean, she came up to me, gave me a big hug, said, "Oh, Delina's told me so much about you and about her time in London. I want to thank you for reaching out to my granddaughter while she was there." And 93 years old, maybe 94. Just active as anything. She helped with the cooking. It was amazing. But what was encouraging was to see her. Like, she was sharing about how she's going through the midweek classes and learning scripture. And I thought, that's how I want to be when I get to be that old, if I ever get to be that old. It's just to never slow down and to never give up, but to keep growing. You know, what Peter tells here, if we do this, then he says we will gain a rich welcome into heaven. And isn't that what we all want? That when we get to be the age that we are when we die, that our last breath will be looking forward to seeing our Savior and expecting that rich welcome that comes, because we never stop growing. And encourage us as a church to have that as our goal. Amen.